Thanks for joining us for another episode of Forever 39 with your podcast besties. Annette, that's her. Say hi.
Hey, everybody.
And me, Megan. If you want to chat with us, you can hit us up on Twitter at NJ1015, hashtag Forever 39. You can head over to Facebook and like us via NJ1015's page. And you can always email us at forever39@nj1015.com. Coming up in this episode, we have idiot drivers and cheating on your mate by watching or binge watching TV. But first, we're going to discuss whether or not women are objectified. And today, we are joined by Daniela Burson, who is the evening news anchor at New Jersey 101.5. Hi, Daniela.
Hi. Thanks so much for being part of our podcast.
Of course, no problem.
So to get started with the women as sexual objects topic, I thought maybe I should give a definition of what that is. So objectification is the action of degrading someone to the status of a mere object, that we are all here to fulfill another's desires, not our own. So in doing research for this, it was some of the stuff I was reading, I felt like I was reading from the 1950s. Some of it seems so cliche and so out of touch to me, and I feel like women have come so far that to hang on to things that maybe were said in the past takes away from how far we've come and how strong
absolutely.
We are. Don't you think?
Yeah, I find that when it comes to objectification, it's really only as effective as the people buying into it.
If
that makes sense. You know, there are some people who are really into their appearance, and they have to have the lipstick and the hair and everything done. And I mean, I'm like that some days, but most of the time I'd rather lounge around with just a sweatshirt and shorts. I mean,
yes.
You know, I feel like women should just dress how they're comfortable dressing. And a lot of people, strangely enough, disagree with that.
I think a lot of the stuff I was reading, it came across as women were not women, but the articles were making women always the victim. It's your fault for putting yourself in this situation. It's your fault for dressing the same way. Well, I think we all kind of know a woman could walk around naked. It doesn't give anyone the right to rape her. Also, I think a woman's smart enough to know not to do that. So as I was reading this, I didn't know how to feel about it. Annette, what are your thoughts? Because you're a pretty smart girl.
Well, I think that women are definitely sexually objectified on a lot of different levels. And some of it is kind of like stuff that's very subtle. But like, let's just throw this out there, for example. During the Oscars, which just happened a couple weeks ago, everyone talks about the women and what they're wearing. But there's very few conversations about the men and what they're wearing.
Because what they wear is boring compared to a lavender dress or a gold glitter dress.
I've heard kind of a similar thing with news anchors. You know, on TV, the women always have to wear a different dress every day. There was there was some kind of thing in Australia, some kind of Australian news station that actually did a study. They had the female news anchor dressing in different dresses every day. And then there was one week where she wore the same dress, you know, maybe she wore it on Monday and then on Wednesday again. And people freaked out. They were like, you wore the same dress twice in one week.
Oh, it's the same thing about the Oscars.
The male news anchor, the male news anchor she was working with wore the same suit every day that entire week.
Nobody said anything. It's just interesting, though, because like Daniela, you said earlier that women should be able to dress as they want. And I agree with you. But I think if a woman comes in an office looking a certain way, she will be criticized. Whereas if a man comes in looking the same way, he will not be. And so these are just kind of the ways in which I think we have, I don't really know if that can be considered sexual objectification, but it is interesting that appearance is something that women, that conversation is constantly talked about for females, but not necessarily for males. I mean, let's just take the election, for example. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of talk about what Hillary Clinton wore. Why does she wear so many pantsuits? Why does this matter? I mean, really, like, she is running to be president of the United States, the most important office in this country. And there's conversations and articles about why she wears so many pantsuits. You would never, ever have an article like that if it was a man, ever. And that's the kind of stuff that I get irritated about.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
I feel
it's
like,
ridiculous.
What does it matter what she's wearing?
So instead of meeting it with an article about a man and what he's wearing, why write the article at all?
Why is it important?
I think they use it to distract from the issues, though, when it comes to Hillary Clinton. I think people
want
to focus on her looks so they don't have to talk about other issues that might be pertinent to her.
But it's always about with women. I think the conversation always comes around to your looks. And that's why I think so many of us do feel objectified in so many ways, because so much of it is tied into your looks and how you present yourself as a woman.
Well, I was going to say, it kind of goes back to what I was saying about how much you want to buy into it. You know, if you don't like how sexualized people look in movies or TV or any kind of media, don't buy the media. Don't buy the DVD of the girls wearing the short skirts. And, you know, don't buy yourself a short skirt if you don't want to look like them. You know, it's great that we have so much personal choice. We definitely have a lot more personal choice nowadays than we did in, like, the 1950s.
Sure.
You know, and just the ability to dress how we want is really incredible. Like, we don't even realize how good we have it compared to
of course.
Hundreds of years ago.
Well, I mean, Hollywood especially is, I think, a place in where a lot of female roles are sexually objectified. You know, you never really get a plot where it's like the man who's sort of the person on the bed being seductive. It's always a woman who's got that role.
Right. You know, but think about that. Would you want to see that?
I think it'd be kind of cool to see that. I think it'd be kind of cool to turn that around at times. Not to say that you'd want men now to be sexually objectified, but why does it always have to be the woman playing the seductress? Why can't it be a man? And why can't it be the man sort of like withering on the bed, you know, waiting for her? It's never that. It's always the woman who's either half naked or in like a bra and panty set. You never really see it from a woman's perspective, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Would it sell if you did?
Well, I don't know. I mean, women watch TV and we watch movies.
Right. But
I think we're so used to seeing women in that role. We're not used to seeing men in that role.
When it comes to, I was going to say, when it comes to men who are like withering away, like you said, on the bed, that's actually a fairly common thing in real life. It's almost always the men that seem to want to pursue the women as opposed to the other way around. I don't really go outside and say, oh, he's an attractive guy, I'm going to get his number.
Like, why can't you have, for example, instead of the woman being the one in the bedroom with the lingerie on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sort of the come hither, my man sort of thing. Why can't that be a guy with boxers?
Yeah, like, it would be great.
You know,
I'd
but
love
you
that.
Don't, you, I'm not saying you don't see it.
Right.
But it's just not the common picture.
Needs that, to be more often.
Exactly. So I think we're taught from a very young age with everything, but especially really with what we see in film, in movies. Music's another huge one.
Yeah.
Look at music and how much they objectify women.
Right. But is that because our culture, it's just not that way?
So I don't know.
Someone would have to power through and start writing music like that or start making movies like that and see if it sells or if it's something people are drawn to.
I think the good news is that, you know, my generation is kind of starting to push towards that. At least from what I've seen, there's a lot more female songwriters. Yeah, I'm a millennial. there's a lot more female songwriters who are writing songs about men. There's a lot of songwriters in general who are choosing to avoid the subject of love altogether. And they're writing songs about other stuff that happened to them.
Even when you think about, let's say, sexual harassment lawsuits, the majority of them in the workplace are male driven. In other words, the female is the victim. The male is the one who was doing the action. It's very rare that it's turned around. So why is that? Something in society has taught men that it's okay to say something like that to a woman in the workplace.
No, well, obviously it's not if there's sexual harassment. I'm thinking...
it's more of the parents than society.
No, I actually think it's sexual harassment in the workplace. It's usually someone of power.
Yes,
that's how they play that
course.
Game. So... a lot of times it's men who are in the power roles, although that's significantly changed, and to say that it's not women as well. But women, I don't know how many guys really get creeped out by women, but you guys know that feeling when someone hits on you or someone keeps coming after you and it's so uncomfortable. I don't know if a woman's hitting on a man, how quickly he's going to push her away as we would tend to.
You could argue that maybe the reason that there aren't as many lawsuits from a male is because maybe it doesn't bother them as much. Now, that's true. We do topics a lot about the teacher-sex relationships.
Right.
And Dennis Malloy is a big one to say, like, what 15-year-old male is going to turn down sex with a 21-year-old female teacher?
I agree with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got a point there. It's looked at differently, but that's not right either.
That doesn't make
it's
it any
better.
It's
still sexual abuse.
Yeah, but to that 15-year-old boy, I mean, take yourself back to when you were 15 and think you're 15-year-old guy friends.
Well, of course. Absolutely.
Well, yeah. So, but the 15-year-old girl, it is a completely different dynamic. And that's because our sexes are different and there are different dynamics within there.
This is a topic that I think you could spend hours on, but we definitely want to know what our audience thinks about it. So let us know by emailing us at forever39@nj1015.com. And maybe we'll talk about it again sometime.
Yeah,
so
that'd be great.
So, driving in New Jersey. For those of us that live in New Jersey, we all know what a hassle it can be. In fact, a survey from Smart Asset ranked New Jersey drivers as the fourth worst in the country.
Really?
Yep. So Megan and Daniela, I want to know what things drive you crazy about New Jersey drivers and driving in New Jersey. I'll give you my list first.
Drive us crazy.
Exactly. So here's my list. Top three, the slow pokes, the driver that never lets you in, never.
Yeah,
no matter
I don't
what.
Like those people.
And people who weave in and out of traffic going like 80 miles per hour.
And
that's frightening to me.
But I love when they do that and then you catch them at the next light.
You're like, hey, buddy, what's up?
Or they haven't gotten anywhere and you're getting off the same exit. Oh, it's like a gift from God.
So what are your most annoying driving behaviors in New Jersey?
I could be here all day. I have road rage and I have bad road rage. And I've been known to lean across my own mother to scream at people.
Oh, no, Megan, you don't do that.
I do.
Oh,
I've been known to
keep my road rage in my car.
Yeah, there have been people that have gotten out of their car and come back to my car.
I would be a nervous wreck that someone would take out a gun and shoot me.
Well, I was in Morristown, so I mean, like, what's going to happen in Morristown? But what I've come to realize, because I wanted to understand, why do I get so angry about it? And I realized, just like you were saying, the person that won't let you in.
Yes.
I feel like everyone acts like their time is more important and they're just rude. And I have no patience because I go out of my way to try to be a courteous driver, to be like a thoughtful driver, to realize we're all in this together and we all want to get where we're going, and not to be a complete jerk as to not let people in. So to go through some of the things, the people that, now I feel like I can talk on my cell phone and drive. I don't feel like anyone can text and drive.
That's
I feel
a good
like
one.
That's
yeah.
a
Nobody
horrible
can
thing.
Text and drive.
But when you are behind someone and they're slow and then they're fast and then they're a little bit in the right lane, they're in the left lane, and they're, and then you get up and you see that glow in their hand, I want to rip them out of their car and throw them down and beat them with their phone.
I'll help. I'll bring a bat.
We'll just drive around because it'll happen probably in about 5 minutes. The people in the, now I drive an SUV and I know how it handles. It's four-wheel drive in bad conditions. I do not understand. I commute on 295 to work. So I don't understand how these cars are zipping by me going in and out in the snow.
Oh, I hate that.
My car slips. Mm-hmm. I have a good, reliable, solid car and it slips and I slip. But yet these people are zigzagging through traffic like there's no problem with it and that they're not going to go spinning off the road. I don't understand that.
Every snowstorm that we cover in the newsroom at New Jersey 101.5, every one, there are like 400 plus accidents that the state police report. And that's just the state police patrolling state roadways. That's not local. And people are idiots because it happens to them all the time where they're going to drive like morons and then they're going to have an accident. But they don't think it's going to happen. So they drive like morons.
Because there's like always, you always have that one slip or whatever.
It doesn't take much.
No, it's crazy. And sometimes these Escalades and I'm like, you know, they don't drive great in the snow. What are you doing? And my final one is we used to work with a guy and he posts pictures on Facebook all the time of people who take up two parking spots.
Oh, boy.
I love him. I love the posts. And it just goes to show you. And sometimes the cars are like sport. More often than not, they're sports cars. But it's the best because they're parked diagonally. But people have like caught on to following this guy. And they'll take a picture because they've put shopping carts all around the car.
Yeah.
Or zip tie a shopping cart to like a door handle or whatever.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It is fantastic because you don't need to. And if you have a car that you can't, maybe you shouldn't have bought that car.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, Daniela, you have a little bit of a different perspective because when you drive, it's overnight.
Yeah,
Daniela,
it's true.
She works until 1 a.m, then she leaves. So you see like a whole different side of New Jersey drivers that Megan and I don't get to experience. So what are some of the things that you hate, especially during those hours? Because you're on the road with a lot of truckers,
I
would imagine.
So it's 1:15 in the morning and you're driving on the road. It's 65 miles an hour, open road in front of you. Car pulls up on your right, gets in front. Slows down to 55.
Like, why? Right. Why?
Is there a reason you had to do that?
Who knows?
Like, I was going 65. I was going the speed limit, and this was fine. You know, I always have to get in the left lane, and I spend most of my time going home in the left lane because I just can't deal with people like that. The other one that I absolutely love are people who don't use their blinkers.
Oh. Yes. And all of a sudden they just make a right or a left and you're like, hello.
Especially
at
night. It's a very good one at night because kind of like, let's say to go back to that situation where the guy cuts in front and is going 55. You know, you're expecting to make that shift into the left lane to get around them. And then suddenly they're in the right lane again.
I also hate, I don't know if you guys ever experienced this, the driver who brakes at nothing. Yeah. Like, there's nothing that I see anyway that's in the front of them.
You wonder how they have any brake pad left.
Right. There's no cars in front of them. I didn't see, like, an imaginary moose, bear, deer, anything. And yet they're braking all the time. Even on a highway. I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, on a highway, it's one thing.
But even uphill. Like, I've been behind people who break uphill.
Yeah, no, okay, keep the momentum going there, bud.
Like, right. What? I could see maybe going down the hill because you're picking up some speed, that's more, but up the hill?
I'm okay with braking when you're going down a hill. Like,
it makes
sense. You get over the hill and suddenly there's a truck that you didn't see before kind of at the end. That's
fine. Or maybe you're going to go a little over the speed limit you don't want to. Fine. But up a hill, that makes no sense. Oh, God, they should retest everybody all the time.
So if you guys had to give yourselves a definition as to what type of driver you are, what would it be? So, like, for me, I have to admit, I have a lead foot. I definitely speed, especially on an open road highway type thing. So if it's like 65, I'm going 75 too. Maybe. But I'm not aggressive in the sense that, like, I'll let people in. I don't weave in and out. And part of that is because I have a Honda Civic.
Yeah.
So the horn is like this. Meep, meep. There's no way you can be aggressive with a horn like that. So I'm just sort of like, you know, I'm good about, like, letting people in, like I said, and not, you know, being obnoxious on the road. But I do speed. So I would say on the road, I am a speed demon. That is my definition for myself. So how about you, Megan?
I would say
other than perfection, of course.
Perfection. I am a pretty good driver. I'll do like 5-10 miles over on like 295, you know, like to keep up with traffic. I'm a pleasant driver. I'm nice until you're an
a-hole.
So
you're the pleasant and then, driver.
Yeah, but I'm nice until you're not. And then
with
I want to rip
rage.
You out of your car and beat you with your tire iron.
Daniela?
So my dad has this really great joke, and I promise I'm not actually like this, but he likes to say, if everyone else is defensive driving, then you should be the offensive driver. Okay. I don't actually do that, though. I try my best to go the speed limit, though, kind of like what Annette said, I tend to go over. You know, I'll go 10, 15 miles over if the road's nice and open.
I think most people do.
But yeah, me too.
One thing that I never really got good at is parallel parking.
I'm so bad that when I have people in the car with me, I get out of the car and they do it.
Oh, I love
it. Yeah, that's what I do.
My pride in life is getting into a spot where Mike's like, you can't get in there.
And
I'm
like, yes, I can.
Yes, I can. And one time, whoop.
So we want to know what type of New Jersey drivers piss you off the most. So we're going to have a poll up at nj1015.com. You guys have to take it. And so that's going to be it with Daniela. We're going to do the next topic, which is Megan and I. So it was good having you.
Thank you, Daniela.
And we'll have you back again soon. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks.
Okay, Annette. So on Sunday, I worked. And when I got home from work, I took a mini nap and got up, did some things around the house. Eventually, Homeland came on. So Mike said, do you want to, like, the second it starts recording, he's like, let's watch Homeland. And okay. So, and we start to watch it. And I'm like, can we go upstairs and watch it in bed? Like, I want to lay down. I'm exhausted. Like, I was just so tired from work. So he's like, okay. So I fell asleep. And my husband continued to watch Homeland without me.
Uh-oh.
So on Monday, when I got home from work, I said, you didn't watch the rest of Homeland, right? Like, when I fell asleep, you turned it off. He's like, no, I watched. And I got pissed. And so I started to look around the internet. And Netflix actually did a survey about cheating by watching TV without your partner. So some of it struck me really funny because it said you're most likely to Netflix cheat or watch cheat on your spouse, say, while you're on a business trip when someone falls asleep.
That would be you.
Or your partner is at work. And 48% of couples admit to cheating on their partner by streaming a show they agreed to watch together. And 63% said they would cheat again if they could get away with it. Netflix cheat. And 22% have gotten into a verbal argument. And maybe I'm one of those 22%. So I just wish he would have paused. So then he's like, well, just watch the rest and catch up. And I said, I refuse. I said, I will watch, you know how they recap it before they play the next week's episode? So I'm like, that's when I will catch up since you had to watch it without me. I don't even know why I care because I really kind of don't.
I think that with this particular situation, you are in the wrong. You
really?
Fell asleep. Why should he stop?
Because he shoves the TV show down my throat. And Homeland.
But to me, this is like, I think this entire subject is ridiculous. I really do. Like, if this is the kind of thing that you're going to argue about as a couple, I feel like, okay, no. Like, I just feel like there's certain things that it's okay if you end up doing them on your own without the other person.
But it's the only thing.
Why is there some sort of weird rule that like everything that I want to watch, my partner has to be willing to watch it too and vice versa?
Oh, no, we don't have that.
Okay, but I don't know. Like, I just don't think it's a big deal. Like, if you fell asleep, why should he have to turn it off?
Because it's our show.
But you fell asleep on him.
I know, but he could have been like, oh, look at my sweet wife who worked hard all day. She's falling asleep.
But then why should he have to sacrifice watching the last 20 minutes because you fell asleep?
He can't wait till like Monday when I get
in. No, I think I would do the same thing. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's really selfish of me, but I think you could say it's selfish of both parties to expect both people to always be ready when one person is. It's like sex. Like, you know, like, I mean, how many times are both people really into it at the same time? So it's like TV. Mike really wanted to watch Homeland. You were exhausted. You both probably should have said this is probably not going to work because you knew you were going to fall asleep. He probably knew you were going to fall asleep.
He probably did.
So it's almost like you got yourselves in a situation that you knew it was going to happen and then you had an argument about it. Like, it's a TV show. Who cares?
What he should have done, in my opinion, is paused it or whatever you do now. Stop it. Pause it. And put on one of his stupid things like Legion or Westworld or whatever dumb thing he watches without me and watch that,
I guess.
And then that way. So it got me to thinking about a bunch of things. What are some binge-worthy shows? And what shows have you watched and then you're like, ugh, that was like a waste of my life?
Well, right now I am absolutely obsessed with Black Mirror.
Oh my gosh,
it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
What's that on?
It's on Netflix, and okay. It's basically like Twilight Zone, but for the modern age.
Really?
And for example, I think the two episodes that stick out in my mind the most, one was titled White Christmas, and it's about being able to block people in your life. So you know how you can block people on Facebook, yes, block people from your cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
Well, with this particular technology that they have, you can physically block somebody.
If you don't change like, your tune about this fight, Mike and I had, I might block you.
Exactly. So let's say you and Mike had a fight about Homeland. And he's like, but Megan, I love you so much, but I couldn't help it. I really wanted to watch it. You would like turn this little dial and block him. So you would not be able to see him. He'd actually be like, you know how like when the TV, well, not really anymore, but when the cable used to go out,
yeah,
it would be like that white sort of like,
yes,
okay,
fuzzy.
So that's what it would be like. He'd be fuzzy. You wouldn't be able to hear anything he says. And then you would also be blocked.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? So yeah, that was one episode. I also like Orange is the New Black. I love House of Cards, Stranger Things.
Stranger Things is great. Have you watched The OA?
No. Okay.
When I tell you, okay, you know me. TV is my life since I was a little kid. I think I've watched 99% of television. I love it. The OA has to be in my top three of all time.
Wow. Okay.
It's so well done.
I'll have to add it to my list.
It's ridiculously good. But and then some shows like Mike was really, when we first started dating, he was really into The Sopranos and I never got it. And I would always try to like analyze it or watch and try to. And I felt like that TV
show.
How
can you not get it? It's a Jersey show.
I know. I just feel like it was all hype and no real substance. And then they tried to make substance where there was nothing. And I think it was a show about hype. I didn't really care for it. And I have a couple we're friends with. They're really into Game of Thrones and really are like, you guys have to. We're obsessed. Please watch it. But the only thing that makes me hesitate is my girlfriend said it took us about 3 episodes to get in.
That's a commitment.
And I'm like, I give one, maybe two.
Right. But always give it two.
Yeah. But we agree on so much other television that I feel like we should get into this.
Yeah, there's so many
shows.
And
Orange is the New Black, you mentioned that. I would like to watch that. I don't watch that.
It's a fun show. And I love House of Cards. But Kevin Spacey's just brilliant.
He's an amazing actor.
Brilliant.
But I was even thinking about TV shows. And of course, I would have to say Friends. You could binge watch that anytime. I mean, it carries Seinfeld, carries.
I'm like that with King of Queens and Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, King of Queens.
I could binge watch those every single day.
I love King of Queens. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a lot of buzz about Twin Peaks lately. I feel like I could go back and watch that. And also 24, the original with Kiefer Sutherland,
oh, yeah,
was one of the best shows ever done.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that could even just be a binge watch. Even just season one, it was excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of stuff, but I, you know, getting back to the thing with the couples, like, I do think it's interesting that, like, That, I mean, it is. It's a big deal for couples, you know, and that's something that I think a lot of couples, that's how they spend time together.
Right. And it's not, like I said, we don't watch every show together, and there's plenty that, like, I just got into Big Little Lies. Mike hates it. And that's with Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman. And I find it really good. So there are shows where we break from each other. It's not like you must watch with me, but there are some like Homeland or The OA where it's time we spend together. We follow the characters together.
So do you discuss it?
We do while we're sitting there. I mean,
all right.
And sometimes, of course, it'll come up in conversation later. It's not like we analyze every episode.
Sure, sure.
But it's something we do together. We're very busy. So at the end of the day, it's really the way we connect.
So it's upsetting to you if he's going to go ahead and watch ahead of you.
Yeah, like there are only a few shows I guess I would care about. And Homeland is definitely one of them. The OA, I probably would have filed divorce papers.
Maybe. Well, we want to know what you guys think about Netflix cheating and also any binge-worthy shows that we should know about. So we'll have a poll up about the Netflix cheating at NJ115.com. And if you've got any shows you think we should be watching, let us know at forever39@nj115.com.
Okay, guys, that wraps up this episode of Forever 39. On next week's show, we're going to cover how we judge those in our world, romantic or otherwise, what three things each of us would take on a deserted island.
And Hugh Jackman?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. That's a great suggestion. And our strongest and weakest traits. And I'm thinking we should do them for each other as well.
Oh, okay. Yes. I like that idea.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. So we'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye, guys. Have a good week.
Bye.